We're very thankful this morning to have each and every person on the call, especially those who are not members of the Church of Christ, and to our visiting brothers and sisters across the nation who joined us on our worship service this morning via conference call. You too are welcome to our call. In the Churches of Christ, we believe that the Bible is right and every word of the Bible is right. We believe that Jesus hung, bled, and died on Calvary, shed his blood there, washed our sins away in baptism, the same blood purchased his church, the Church of Christ. That's the only church you ever read about in the Bible. If you want to become a member of the Church of Christ, you must obey that gospel by being baptized for the remission of your sins. Then the Lord will add you to the church. All that's in the Bible. We'll talk more about being saved as we go through the lesson today. And to those who are on the call may have fallen by the wayside, the Bible does not teach once you're saved, you're always saved. We pray you too will come home before it's everlasting and eternally too late. In Acts chapter 17, continuing our study of the book of Acts, this morning, this Jesus whom I preach to you is Christ. Acts chapter 17. Let's go there and see what we can learn for a few minutes this morning. The Bible says, and now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where a synagogue of the Jews. Now, Paul and Silas, as we read about last week, had been released by God from prison cell. We talked about that prison cell in depth last week. No doubt, Paul and Silas' bodies are still hurting from the meeting, remember, that they took. However, even in pain, we can see here they're still traveling to carry the gospel. That's a great lesson to us. No matter how much pain we suffer in this life as Christians, the work of the Lord must go on. There's never a time we should give up and stop sharing the word of God and the truth with the lost and dying world. No matter what's going on in our bodies, nothing should prevent us from worshiping in spirit and truth. Many members of the church will leave the Lord, miss worship over little headaches and cold or things of that nature. But you can see here, Paul, after going through severe beating, Paul and Silas still was willing to carry on the work of the Lord. Godspeed today when men and women will become more committed to serving God as these men were. Paul now, he enters into the synagogue of the Jews. Paul, this was a common practice of Paul. He would go in among the Jews and preach the word of God. The Bible says in verse number 2, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them. So he goes into the synagogue. Three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them out of the scriptures. Now, Paul, being a bold preacher, he had no fear of the Jews. He went in unto the Jews even after they whipped him and all that. He still spent 3 days here going through the scripture, reasoning, meaning to discuss them. You don't have to argue about the Bible. You can reason and discuss the Word of God with people who are listening and willing to accept the truth as written in the Scripture. But in order to do this, they must be willing to discuss from the Scriptures. But you can't discuss something you don't know, and that's why it's important as members of the church that those of us who are Bible students understand the reason you need to know this Bible. You need to know what you're talking about. Don't just start talking to people about God. You don't know what you're talking about, just giving them your opinion, how you feel about a subject matter. Paul says, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing or correctly handling the word of God. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and the verses number 15, Peter says, sanctify the Lord in your hearts and be ready with always to give an answer to every man, to ask you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Paul was just this kind of a man, a preacher, a teacher. Paul reasoned, discussed scripture with these Jews 3 days, three Sabbath days, like three Sundays in a row for us. That would be like three Saturdays for them. Three Sundays in a row for us. You know, we reason with people about the scripture. He wouldn't go into the synagogue every seventh Sabbath day and sit down and talk to him. Notice in verse 3, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen from the dead. And this Jesus, here's come my title right here, whom I preach unto you is Christ. That's what we want to make emphasis here. What he was preaching was Christ. One thing you have to do when reasoning or discussing with people who are interested and learning about God has got to open up and a ledge. Open what? Open the book, all the scripture. Open the Bible. That's where the truth is at. The truth is not in an opinion or someone saying, I think or feel, but you got to know what the books say. And that's why it's important that we emphasize in the Church of Christ that we speak what the Bible speaks, and we are silent, for the Bible is silent. We're Bible-believing people. We believe that the scripture has absolute authority. God speaks to us through his word. The Bible teaches us that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the men of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we got to know the scripture, and the scripture is all we need. Understand this. We don't need no personal testimonies and all that kind of stuff. What we need is the Bible. God has given his testimony. When people want to obey God, we all do is allege, explain, approve what we're saying from the Bible that is true and it's from the scripture. But understand this. Many people are not seeking truth. You can talk to people sometimes till you're blue in your face. If they're not seeking truth, they're not going to receive with meekness God's engrafted word, which is able to save their soul. They may have opinions and ideas, have come up with their own belief system, believing they are right, even they're believing they're right over the Bible. People will say that. I know that's what the Bible says, but I just don't believe like that. That means you don't believe the Bible then. You don't believe God, you're an unbeliever, and you're going to lose your soul. That's what you're going to do. You're going to lose your soul. You're going to lose your soul. You got to go back and believe that this book's right. So Paul was telling them, that he was reasoning it with them in scripture. He was talking about this Christ that had suffered. Paul is doing exactly what I do today. He was doing it then, and many preachers today are not doing this, but Paul was doing it. He was alleging Christ must have suffered, meaning that Christ had suffered. What does it mean? That means all of us need to understand that God so loved us that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. When God gave his son, Jesus came to live among men, and he lived about 33 years, where in the last 24 hours of his life, he was treated as a criminal. He was in imprisonment. He was beaten. He wore a crown of thorns. He was mocked. He was spit upon, and that was the beginning of his suffering. And he went to the cross, the execution by crucifixion. America don't know nothing about a crucifixion. We never saw a crucifixion. We have no idea of a crucifixion. People talk about Jesus, how much they love him. But do you know how much he suffered for you? He suffered so you could have the blood to wash your sins away in baptism. And here you are questioning baptism. He suffered to purchase his one church. It would become his bride, his church, the Church of Christ. And you question the church. You understand that God let his son suffer on that cross for 6 long hours to save your soul. He suffered on that cross for 6 long hours to save my soul. And I guarantee you this, that the Bible is revealing to us that men and women who don't believe that Jesus suffered on the cross, these people will not be saved. Until we believe that Jesus suffered for us, we won't come to worship. Until we believe that he suffered with us for us on that cross, that last 24 hours he suffered in Jerusalem, until we believe that, we won't give right. Until we believe he suffered for us, we won't study the Bible. Until we believe that he suffered for us, we will not live faithful to him. Until we believe that he actually suffered. Why you say that, Brother Brooke? Why is it all about the suffering? Because the Bible teaches us. In Romans 1:16, it says, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. When you preach the gospel, you have to preach, as Paul is doing here, that Christ had suffered. He risen again from the dead. When a person is trying to be saved, they must believe in a Jesus who was beaten, murdered on a cross, was buried in a tomb, and resurrected. You'd say that might sound crazy. It's foolish to people who don't believe. It's foolish that a man would hang on a cross. It's foolish to them. That's what it is. When people don't believe, they don't believe Jesus hung on the cross. And these same people amaze me and say they believe in Jesus. How you believe in Jesus? You ain't never saw Jesus. You never even saw him. Talk about you believing. And then you don't want to do nothing he said. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's right. And so when people act like they believe in Jesus, they love the Lord so much, but they won't do nothing he said. Don't want to be baptized. Don't want to wear his name. Don't want to be in the church he built. Don't take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. However, they love Jesus. Well, if you love him, why don't you obey him? If you believe that he actually went through that for us, how could you not? How could you not? But Paul said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. 1 Corinthians 1:18. The preaching of the cross. What do we preach to get people's attention? It's the preaching of the cross. It's telling people what the pain and shame he went through on the cross. That's what God the Father wants us to tell the people, and people who love God will love his son because he went through that pain and shame on the cross. That's what Paul is preaching here. I wish people would listen to this. If we listen to this, if people would listen to this, they would understand how God the Father must have felt when he watched his child be beaten for us, and how much he must feel like we are spitting in his face when we don't do nothing he asked us to do. Notice the Bible says in Isaiah 53:10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, to put him to grief, that when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Notice this verse 11. He shall see the travail. What is that? That's the pain that Jesus went through of his soul and shall be satisfied. God said he was satisfied that he would let his child go through all this pain for you and me. He was satisfied with this. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity. This is God the Father looking at his child being spit on, being mocked, suffering, drove nails in his hand, and the Father watched it. And what he want us to do today, he want men like me to tell the people who are listening, this is what my child went through to save them, Tommy. You tell them the gospel. The good news is sad news. The good news is that it was sad that God had to give his child, and his child had to go through all this suffering to save those of us who are sinners. That's why Paul said, but God commended his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Why can't people see this? Why they can't see this? This is all God wants us to do. And when he tells us to tell the story, Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, in verse number 6, he said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. Maybe some that trouble you would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than which we have preached, let him be accursed. Paul said, say, as we said before, say now, say so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel to you that you have received, let him be accursed. Paul said, do I seek to please men? If I seek to please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Paul said, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after me. For I neither received it a man, neither when I taught it. By revelation. Paul said, God revealed to me what to teach. What did he teach? What did Paul teach? He taught about this Jesus. The same one I'm teaching about. This Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. He's the Savior of the world. What about this Jesus? This Jesus suffered, was buried, and rose again. And when we preach this Jesus, this would change the world. This is the message that would turn the world upside down. This is the message that would save the world. This is the message that the Church of Christ got to preach. This is the message that the world got to hear about this Jesus whom we preach. Is Christ. He's the Savior. He's the Messiah. And I know that God is not pleased when we don't preach Jesus. You know, no doubt many people will listen to me, and I've been told before, when you hear Brother Brooke preach, you hear a lot of gospel. Matter of fact, when I first came to my life, I had some young men call me and say, Brother Brooke, I don't hear anything. I hear a lot of gospel every week, a lot of death, burial, and resurrection. Yeah, you will. You will. But if you listen only for that, you will miss everything else. I can preach the whole book of Acts. I'm going to preach the death, burial, and resurrection every time I get on the car. But there's a whole lot of other information I'm giving you. See, the impact of the gospel has to do with the piercing of the conscience. It has to do with the working of the mind. See, the only way we're going to get better is that we know what God went through for us. We know what his son went through. I'm talking about this Jesus, Paul said, whom I preach is Christ. This Jesus will make the world change. This Jesus, when he penetrates our heart that he suffered for us, we will make change. That's the only thing that will help this world. You know, you all looking at TV just like I am. This world is getting worse and worse and worse. Don't be surprised. It's going to get worse. But one day the Lord coming back and flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just remember this. He's coming back one day. This ain't going to get no better. I just pray that the world get better. The world's not going to get better. That's a vain prayer. Our Bible already told us. God has already told us that wickedness of men will wax worse and worse, seducers. That's why we're seeing all these mass killing, all this stuff going on. It's getting worse. That's why we see homosexuality all over the TV. That's why we see men kissing men now on TV. We didn't see that 5 years ago. We didn't even see that 10 years ago. You're seeing all kind of stuff coming to the front line now. Everything, we're seeing all kind of sinful activity. Homosexuality is just as common as eating cornbread these days. There's nothing to it. Our children are exposed to it. But God never approved it. He never approved a man to marry a man, a woman to marry a woman. This is just men. Men are where they did it in the old time. They got so wicked, God destroyed them. He repented and he made man. It's going to get worse, y'all. Get ready. Get ready. Don't be surprised. Don't be shocked. Now, if you're a believer in the Bible, you cannot be shocked. The only thing we can do, y'all listen to me carefully, the only answer to this problem is this Jesus whom we preach. It's Christ. And when we get that now, Church of Christ, understand that our message is not to change the world by giving them some kind of opinionated idea of what we can do to make the world better, getting involved, some kind of program, a protest. The thing that we can do is preach Christ, this preaching this Jesus who is Christ. That's what we got to do. That's what the church needs to be known. That's what all the preachers need to understand. That's what Brother Stroud and I best do. We best not leave the gospel out of the messages. We best preach this Jesus. That's how we can make a difference. That's how you can make a difference, by believing it, first of all. When you believe it, you can preach it or teach it or share it. But if you don't believe it, you can't preach it, teach it, or share it because you don't believe it yourself. And I'm convinced. After preaching all these years, I've been preaching. There are even preachers in the Church of Christ who don't believe it. They don't preach it. You can't tell me you believe a person is in a burning house and you don't tell them. That's what a person outside the Church of Christ, I don't care what the setting is, if they're in a funeral, it doesn't matter. If a fireman comes to the home of a person who they believe is going to burn up in that house, that man will tell them to get out or put some water on that thing. You tell me a preacher who take an opportunity when people are listening and they're lost and they know they're lost outside the church, they're not in the Church of Christ, you don't take 1 minute out of your sermon to tell them. You won't tell them. That's disrespectful to God. That is not in keeping with his will. We are to boldly tell the truth to people. You can't tell a person you love them and leave them in the burning house. Shame on them. That's what I say. Well, I don't ask people to agree with me on that. I don't try to get me to agree with me on this. I'm holding my position. No matter what the setting is, if I get a chance to tell a person that they're saved in the Church of Christ, I'm going to tell them. Without fear of fame, I don't fear them. I'm not looking for no fame or pat on the back. But don't tell me you love me and leave me in a burning house. That don't go together. It doesn't go together, my brothers, sisters. It doesn't go. You can't tell a person you love them and leave them lost. Well, you know God going to give them the opportunity. He gave you the opportunity to tell them. So don't put it on them. He gave you the opportunity to tell them. We have the opportunity. Everybody in your family should know what you believe and why you believe it, brothers and sisters. How many of y'all have told your mamas, your daddies, your sisters, your brothers, your family members? How many of you told them there's only one church? How many of you told them about this Jesus? That makes you wonder. And then you go to funerals and you listen to people preach, teach, and talk about people. He's gone on to heaven. How you know? Nobody know where a person went to. We pray. We can admonish you. Well, you can encourage everyone. We comfort one another. We worry if a person obeyed the gospel and they're in the Lord. then that's the best chance they got to go to heaven. But do you know that a person who get baptized and a member of the Lord Church, just because they did that, that don't mean they're saved. That person could be just an evil in their heart. Don't you know that? God is the only one who knows the true heart of an individual. And nobody on this call that honestly can say, I know you say. I can't say that. I know what you've done to be saved. I can say that. But can I know for sure that you're living right? Can I know for sure that your heart is right? I can't. So you never hear Brother Brooks preach no homegoing celebration. I just tell him, here's what he did to be saved, and I pray he lived accordingly. I'll do that. I'll do that for anyone. That's good. That's comforting, you know, that my loved one obeyed the truth. They got a good chance of going to heaven. But for me to say they're in heaven, that is not for me to do. Not for me to say they're in hell. Here's what caused you to go to hell. At the end of the day, God is the judge. And the judge is not going to, he's not going to change his mind because we don't like what he said. Now, here's what we're doing this morning. We're putting emphasis on the importance of preaching Jesus the Christ. He is the Savior of the world. And as long as we preach that, we can help the people. And if we never preach that, we will never help anyone. Let's go back to Acts 17:4. He said, and some of them believe. Some people are going to believe. Some people are going to believe this amazing story of a suffering Savior. Now, Paul had to go to the Old Testament to prove what he was saying. I got the New Testament. He didn't have it at the time. He's proven, according to the Old Testament, these prophecies have come to be true. That's what Paul is proving. He's proven that these prophecies, that Jesus was coming, that the Messiah was coming, that Isaiah 53 is true, that there's a report there, and he asked them about who's going to believe the report that God would send a son, and Paul is saying some of them believe. The Bible says some of them believe. And consorted, which means they united. They join in with Paul and Silas. Now, here's the thing about it. You can't join the Church of Christ. Listen, well, I want you to join the church. No, you can't. You got to obey God. Become a member of the Church of Christ. So they came in united with Paul based on the same belief system. So when a person comes to church, Hollow Heights, and we baptize them, they didn't come join the Church of Christ. Well, they came as believers, believing what the Church of Christ believed. We're united in our belief. Understand that the Lord is the one who adds you to the church. Brother Brooks ain't got no church to add you to. You can't join Brother Brooks' church. I don't have a church. Christ got a church. Christ died for the church. And Christ is the only one who can add you to the church, Acts 2 and the verse 47. That's why you won't see in the Church of Christ, we won't be voting you in like the Baptist people. There's no vote to be given. There's no vote. This is all about us uniting in a belief system. That belief system is based on New Testament doctrine, Old Testament prophecies. When we believe that the New Testament has been revealed to us for what we must do to be saved, then we can unite. There will be no division. There will be no denominational church if we consorted. There will be no modern-day denominational churches if everyone believes the Bible. 1 Corinthians 1:10, Paul said, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and there will be no division among you. We could not be divided, but they did not consort. They did not unite. They don't believe with us. The reverend would preach, call no man reverend, just like I do. The father would say, call no man father, just like I'm saying. Because that's what the scriptures say. Holy reverend is God's name. Psalm 111, verse 9. Matthew 23:7-9. Jesus called no man father, for ye are brethren. If we were united, if the Baptist preacher, the Methodist preacher, the Church of Christ preacher, all preach the same thing, all three of them would say, I'm Brother Brooks, I'm Brother so-and-so, I'm Brother so-and-so. All three of them would say, one church, Church of Christ, Church of Christ. That's all they could say. If they consort, if they united on the scripture being right, they would preach a Jesus who is Christ. They would preach that Jesus who is now Christ. That's it. That's all we preach. Now notice this. They consorted with Paul. And of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. Some believed and obeyed. They became converts. But here's something else here. Not a few of the chief women believed. This is not. When you say chief women here, these are women of influence. And there's some women of influence on this phone. No doubt in my mind, I know some women that are faithful women in the Lord. They're not preachers, though. This is not referring to no woman preacher. The Bible teaches against the women preachers. 1 Corinthians 14:34. Paul said, let your women keep silent in the church, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be on the obedience, says the law. The Bible also says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verses number 11, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not the seed, but the woman being the seed was in transgression. That's what the Bible says. And then it says in verse number 15, notwithstanding, she, the woman, shall be saved in childbearing. That's why they have children. If they continue, there's an if there, a little word if. So I have a baby, I'm saying, no, it says if. If they continue in the faith. I mean, you got a sister, a woman have to obey just like anyone else. You got to obey by being baptized for the remission of your sins, and you got to continue to live according to the scripture, according to the faith that's written in the New Testament. And charity, you got love and holiness and with sobriety, keeping a good use of your mind. Women were never intended to be leaders in the church. Never. And we got some now today wanting to be leaders in the church, wanting to be leading everything. But God never put a woman out front. Never, not once. God put the women out front. He always made the men to be the protector of the women. They are submission. They're under his care, under his protection. And God did the same thing in the church. But even in the Old Testament, they were trying to do things like, listen to what the Bible says in First Isaiah chapter 3. The Bible says in verse 10, say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of the loins. Then in verse 11, he said, woe unto the wicked. What? Woe unto the wicked. It shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. For as for my people, children of their oppressors, and women rule over them, oh my people, which they lead, they which lead thee cause thee to error, and destroy the way of thy path. When you put a woman in leadership over men, that's error. What the Bible teaches. Why? God had a design. And that's why some of you wives need to understand why it's important for you to stay in your place, in your lane, as a woman who submit to her husband, obedient to her husband. I said, Rubber, we don't know what kind of husband God. I ain't talking about him now. I'm talking about you. We ain't talking about him. We talking about you. That's the problem. You don't want to submit. But I'm teaching you that when you're a woman like these women were the chief women, they were women of influence. These women respected the word of God. The Bible teaches us, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Ephesians 5:22. For the husband, not the woman, is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And we understand head of the church being Christ. Then you understand that the head of the wife is the husband. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:3, for I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. That husband you got, if he's hard headed and cutting up and you don't want to respect him, that's because he don't respect Christ. But if there's a man on this call that respect Christ, then you will have no man and understand that Christ is his head. Then you as a woman will understand him as your head, and you will respect him. I'm just talking to the brother. The reason that woman don't respect you because you don't treat her like Christ treat his church. When Christ treated his church as head, he loved that church. He gave himself for the church. And you want to know why your wife don't want to submit to you? It's because you have not submitted to Christ, brother. And when you submit to Christ, a woman of influence, a chief woman that I'm talking to on this call, have no problem submitting to you because both relationships, Christ and the man, the husband and the wife, is built on love. And who is that? God. Because God is love. And when I love Christ, then I will submit to Christ as a husband. When my wife loves Christ, she'll submit to Christ. And she will also submit to me because she too loves Christ. To the sisters on the call, don't lose your soul because you have not given the attention to God and His Word. For the Bible says, I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man. And watch this, the head of Christ is God. Even Christ had a head. He said, why are we doing this morning? Like, this Jesus will not preach. He's Christ. He's the Savior. He's the King. He's the Lord of Lords. And when we read about this in the Bible, when you go to Ephesians 5:23, he specifically speaks to the women and men in our roles. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husband. Notice this, in everything. So, Brother, where do you draw the line? You do nothing that he says that goes against the will of God. Christ is always first. You put God first, and you do his will. If a man is trying to get you to go against God, that's where you draw the line. Nobody come between you and God. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. God is a jealous God. He wants to be first. And if a man put God first, and a woman put God first, that's going to be a blessed marriage and a blessed home. Who are these women? They were chief women. Are you, am I asking sister, are you a chief sister in the church? Chief women are influential, godly women. They won't be preaching, but they'll be living a life of faith, belief, love, holiness, and sobriety. Women will be saved only if they keep the faith. Women will be saved if they love God and keep his commandments. Chief women will live holy lives as God has a commandment. I wonder how many women on this call can say you're a chief woman. You're that woman of influence that carry yourself that way. Would God call you one? Would you be in this group of women here? Would you be in this group of women that achieve in their life, influential? So I said, look, I just believe God has gifted me. He's given me the ability to preach and teach. Well, that's what you say. But I'm going to just give you some thoughts, some common sense stuff. Now, Jesus had an opportunity to come to the world. You know, when he came, he picked 12 men to carry the message and to walk with him. He could have picked a woman, but he didn't. He didn't. He picked 12 men. One of them was the devil. He never picked a woman. One of them obeyed the devil. You know, Judas did. But not once did he pick a woman. Why? God put men out front in the home. He put men out front in the church. We, as men, and the men on the call, need to understand our role in the home and in the church. Our role is protectors. I often say this. If the thief comes to the house, I'm not going to send my wife to this door. Maybe go check. So I'm expected to go to the door and find out who's trying to intrude our family, hurt our family, and I'm going to be the first line of defense. They got to take me out to get the sheriff, to get to my kids. That's what God expects. He did the same thing in the church. He put men out there in leadership to fight the wolf. The wolf is coming in to get the flock, to get those who are weak. Women are weaker than men. I know. We have some of the women on here who think you're a boy. You're not a boy. I mean, you don't have the same. We're not made the same. Can't even walk the same or talk the same. Even when people fake like they are, well, a man try to fake like he's a girl, or a girl try to fake like she's a boy, you can tell immediately they don't have the same makeup. God didn't design you like that. Why can't people see this? can't see this. It boggles my mind when I see a man walking like a woman. You can't even twist like you swagging, whatever you're doing, swishing. It don't even look right. And you got to hold your hand all flimsy and stuff. You say, what are you talking about? I'm just telling you, it's what you call it, feminine. Trying to act feminine when you're not feminine. Trying to act masculine, even though you put on pants, cut your hair short, you still can't be masculine. You don't look bad. People know it. We know this. Why? It wasn't God's design. He said, Brother Brooks, that's just the way I feel I was born. But the Bible don't teach us you were born like that. How you going to want me to go along with that? I can't go along with that. That's a choice. Like drinking. Like smoking. Like fornication. Lying. It's all the same. It's called sin. And homosexuals ain't no worse than me. They got the same problem I got, just like everybody else. You have an issue. Now, the issue is sin. Which means you're not different, are you? So don't say we're picking on you. Not picking on you, I'm just saying you're not different. Your issue is sin. You're a man who happened to have sexual desires to be with another man, which is not natural. It's called unnatural affection, inordinate affection. That's what it's called. I mean, it's not ordinary for a male to lay with a male. It's not normal. It's not natural. That's why the Bible says natural. It's not. You don't see that with animals. Look at the animal kingdom. It doesn't happen. And so are we to not say it because people say you are or what they call homophobic or whatever it is? Phobic, whatever you call it, whatever you want. But the truth is still the truth. It doesn't change anything. They have just as much a chance to be saved as any other sinner. So I'm not going to have this pity party. You have chosen to choose to lay with a woman when the Bible teaches against you laying with a woman. A woman is supposed to have a man. To avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. And every wife her own husband. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. So when we start looking at these things, you got to just say what it is. You got to tell the truth. I can't just go along with you to allow you to believe you're okay when you're going to lose your soul if you don't make these changes that you have to make. But I want to say this, that you're not alone when it comes to sin. Paul had to remind the Corinthians, such were some of you. That's what he told them. They were all just like this. Some of them was doing this. Some of them were doing these things. Such were some of you. When we look at sin, we have no room to talk about anyone is worse than the other. We have no room. Because sin comes in all shapes, forms, and fashions. But then, we cannot minimize what the world wants us to do. This is a subject that we have to talk about these days because they're trying to push it down our throat. Yeah. Trying to push it down. This the rainbow flag stuff going on. We're trying to push it down our throat that we're prejudiced or we're against people. No, what we're against is called sin. We're against sinful activities and things that would cause people to lose their souls. Yeah. So I have to spend some time on it. You have to say these things because this is what's going on in the world. Let's go back to Acts 17. But the Jews, verse 5, which believed not, moved with envy, and took them certain lewd fellows of baser sort, and gathered their company, set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. Now, the Jews, there were some which believed not. Now, when a person don't believe, they're not going to do what God wants them to do. But what do they got to believe? First of all, they got to believe about this Jesus. Paul said, I'll preach. He's Christ. When you know he's Christ, then you become a believer that you can obey him. But they were not believers. So believers are not going to help us. But they moved with envy against Paul. Took them certain lewd fellows of the basest sort, meaning they were bad characters, lewd fellows. Basis sort. That means just it's like we say today, street boys. These boys were hood boys. They were of the basis sort. Gathered a company, set all the city in uproar. You want to get people that will go along with tearing up a city? Just go out there and get some of them looters. That's what they'll do. They'll tear up a city. Can't help nobody by tearing up, burning down stuff. I don't understand how people go along with that. You are the tearing up and burning up stuff, trying to help people. That's not going to help anything. The Bible refers to these kind of people as basis sort. Lewd spillers. They'll gather come. That's how people come together for a cause, they say today. And then they burn up everything. Breaking down buildings. That's what the same thing you got right here. A gathered a company. Set all city on uproar. City's on fire now. Everybody's killing everybody. Everybody throwing bombs. Fighting against the police. Burning up buildings. That's the same thing you got going right here. Because they were preaching truth. These unbelievers moved with envy, set the city in uproar. Assaulted the house of Jason. Jason was one of Paul's relatives, we found in the book of Romans. And notice this, when people can't defend their belief, when people don't like the things they're being taught, like Paul was teaching them from the scripture about this Jesus, they become envious of those who can defend their belief. This is why it's important to know what we believe and why we believe it. This is the reason to be faithful to Bible class, that you may defend your belief. This is what many people right here in Houston around will get upset, even in the church, when Brother Brooks holds to his position on something. I'm going to hold my position on worship. I'm not going to change. We're not going to add to it. We're not going to take from it. We're not going to go along with base mind. We're not going to be about it. We're not going to have praise teams. That's Church of Christ people. That they don't like that. They don't like me. They don't think I'm going to get invited to the citywide election, knowing I'm going to say something against that. Pay attention. Well, guess what? My feelings are not hurt because I know that's what comes with standing with truth. When you preach just Jesus, you got to stand with truth. Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Yeah, got to stand with him. Why is it important for you to stand? The reason to know what you believe and why you believe it. When we go out there and preach to the world, don't expect the world to be okay with what we're saying. When they want us to say things like the Constitution said. They want to say any church would do. They want us to say it don't matter as long as you believe in Jesus. We all going to heaven. We just going to different buildings. We ain't got to teach the same thing. You don't have to be baptized. You can pray the sinner's prayer. They want us to say those things. They want us to say it's okay. You know, God knows your heart. And yeah, I know you may be of this persuasion that of this particular belief, or you want to live a certain way, you believe you're okay. That's fine. You can do that, but we can't preach that. You can do what you want to do. All of us can do what we want to do. But we cannot teach this. If the Bible, it is in the Bible, if we teach something that's in the Bible, they can't deny that it's in there. And when a person can't deny what they're reading, then they will get upset. I've seen it happen over and over. And that's why, because these people, the certain lewd fellows of the basest sort, they'll get together a group of people trying to go against the truth. Listen to verse 6. And when they found him not, they drew Jason, certain brethren, unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down have come here to. Look what they said. What is going on, Paul and them, because they're preaching this Jesus? They see that these guys are turning the world upside down. They thought Paul and Silas were at Jason's house, but they wasn't. So they took Jason and other brothers, saying, these men that turned the world upside down, how high? Because you said under my preaching, you will be exposed to critics. You're going to be exposed to critics. And you know, some people done left because of that. They're not going to sit under my preaching no more. I'm too tough. I'm too straightforward. Or they got their own opinion of what I'm about. But it's not about the man. You understand that? not about the man. It's about what he preaches. That's going to make the difference. As long as I preach book, chapter, and verse, and reason with scriptures, the critics are going to come. Because the Bible is right. The lewds, the baser sorts, going to gather up groups against the truth. You got to get ready for that. This is what happens when you preach this Jesus. This Jesus, Paul says, whom I preach is Christ. He's the Messiah, Savior of the world. And that's what I'm going to keep doing. Whom Jesus had received, Jason had received, verse 7. And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. See, Jason took what came with the truth. So must we also. Let them say what they want to say about the Church of Christ. It is still right. What people say is still in the book. It's still right. You're still going to say Church of Christ. Time you read what church is in the Bible, you're going to say Romans 16:6, Church of Christ, salute you. They're going to say it over and over. You can't take it out of there. You turn the page out. You don't buy another one because they're going to be right back in there. Let them say what they want to say. At that time, one of the most serious crimes in the Roman Empire was acknowledge another king other than Caesar. You see, the king that the Paul was acknowledging was the King of Kings. This Jesus whom he crucified. It was turning the world upside down with that message. They were turning the world upside down. Bible refers to the Spirit revealed these men are turning the world upside down. What were they preaching? Just Jesus. Paul said, whom I preach is Christ. Can y'all say that? Should we be able to say that? Can Brother Brooks say that? Can Brother Stroud say that? Can Brother Sorrell say, just Jesus whom I preach is Christ? He's the Savior. He's the King. And you know what they have a problem with? When you preach his kingdom, then you got to acknowledge he's a king. And they didn't want to do that. They were preaching his kingdom. When they preached his kingdom, they preached him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In verse 8, and they, the people, troubled. They troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. When they take a security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither, went into the synagogue of the Jews. See, Paul and Silas had to get out of town because of what they were doing. They were preaching this Jesus. They had to get out of there because of safety reasons. So they took them out by night. They were trying to get them. And went to Berea, because the city of Thessalonica was in an uproar over the truth that was being taught. What was Paul teaching? Paul said, this Jesus, whom I preach, is Christ. That's what got him. He was preaching Jesus, who was Christ. And these were more noble, verse 11, than those in Thessalonica. And they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily. Notice that. Whether these things were so. Now, do you want to know if what I'm saying is so? Well, my advice? Well, search the scripture. Go ahead. Search the scripture will make you a noble person. Check behind. I dare you read behind me. I dare anyone to read behind me. You read yourself right out of a Baptist church into the Church of Christ. You read yourself right out of not believing in baptism to believing in baptism. You read yourself right out of not taking the Lord's Supper on Sunday to taking the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. You read yourself right out of denominationalism right into the one church. See? That's the only thing you can. Because that's what the scripture teaches. You want to be noble? What made these people more noble? That they receive, once they read it, they receive the word with all readiness, ready to receive it, with my mind and search those scriptures. Not every once in a while, daily they search them. Find out what Paul was teaching was true. Search behind it. And then be ready to receive the word with readiness or open mind. If you're here today on the call, not a member of the Church of Christ, it's a noble or commendable thing, meaning impressive, wise, high in character, when you can keep your mind open to the truth from the scripture. Those are the only people going to be saved. People who believe the Bible is right. Their mind will be open to receive God's word with meekness. James 1:21. The Bible says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Now we've searched the scriptures this morning on several matters, subject matters. I've been the Bible. I've been giving you book, chapter, and verse. And I'll call out some things. He said, well, Brother Brooks, what's the point here? When a person wants to be saved, they will search the scriptures. And when you search the scriptures, you will know this Jesus whom I preach is Christ. And you receive with meekness. And in closing, verse 12, therefore many of them believe, also of honorable men, women, excuse me, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. When the truth is preached, and people are open-minded, it will reach honorable men and women. Is there a noble, open-minded man or woman on this call this morning who came with readiness of mind to hear the truth, to identify yourself, to see yourself in the mirror, to call sin, sin, to repent of your sin? Understand it's your sin, it's your sin, mine is mine. And until we repent of whatever's going on with our lives, you can't worry about it. So many people worry about trying to change other people. You know what, how the world is going to get better? Why don't you change? Why don't you change? When I change my life, that's the best I can do. I can't change your life. You can't change my life. This is a personal decision. Everybody got to make their own change. Can I influence you? Yes. How am I going to influence you? With scripture. With scripture. I can influence you through the way I live. I can influence you through the things I say. I can influence you. But if I live not according to scripture, if I say things that are not according to scripture, that's no influence. It's not positive. Not going to be a positive influence. So here we are. Verse 13. When the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God would preach of Paul and Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. See, they're going to follow them, going there, trying to stir people there. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timothy are abode there still. And they conducted Paul, brought him unto Athens, receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timothy for to come to him with all speed, they departed. What happened here? Well, Paul and them had the preaching run. They preach and run. They have to get out because people don't like the truth. God was protecting them. God was taking care of them. But there was men like Silas and Timothy who would stay back and continue to share that gospel. They was after Paul and them. What was going on with Paul? Why were they after Paul? Why did they try to tear him down? Paul says, this Jesus whom I preach is Christ. And brother says, Brother Brooke, go down for any reason. I want it to be. This Jesus, because this Jesus whom I preach is Christ. If you're on the call today and you're not a Christian, the Jesus whom I preach, I talked about how he suffered for you. He became the Savior of the world because he gave his life. And he said, greater love had no man than this. They laid out his life for his friends. This Jesus came to live among men about 33 years. He did no wrong. He knew no wrong. There was no guile found in his mouth. Yet he led the sheep to the slaughter. And before his shearers know, he was open, not his mouth. He hung on that cross between two thieves with nails in his hands and in his feet. It was at the cross, where I first saw the light. The song said, on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross an emblem of suffering and shame. And on that cross, this Jesus, whom I preach, became Christ. On that cross, this Jesus, whom I preach, shed his blood. On that cross, this Jesus, whom I preach, hung for 6 long hours. On that cross, this Jesus, whom I preach, died, bowed his head, and gave up the ghost. On that cross, this Jesus, whom I preach, was pierced in his side, and I came blood and water, the two central elements that will save man's soul. This Jesus, whom I preach, was taken down from the cross, buried in a borrowed tomb. This Jesus, whom I preach, early one Sunday morning, rose from the grave with all power. This Jesus, whom I preach, gave the command to go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, Matthew 28:18. This Jesus, whom I preach, told us in the book of Mark, in Mark 16:15, he got up from the grave and said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth it and is baptized shall be saved. This Jesus, whom I preach, said in Matthew 16:18, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell, the grave, will not prevail against it. This Jesus, whom I preach, became the husband of the wife. Ephesians chapter 5, when he talked about the husband and the wife, in verse 32, Paul says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. This Jesus whom I preach has a wife. This Jesus whom I preach, his wife wears his name. Every wife wears a husband's name. It's the church. The church is the wife, and she's the church of Christ. She belongs to Christ. This Jesus, whom I preach, told his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. This Jesus, whom I preach, said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, you might be also. This Jesus, whom I preach, is sitting on the right hand of the Father. He's calling you today. Come unto me. All you labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. This Jesus, whom I preach, desires to save your soul. He became a lamb to the slaughter. And it was he who said, greater love had no man than this. He laid out his life for his friend. This Jesus, whom I preach, is Christ, Savior of the world. Won't you come to him this morning by, number one, hearing that gospel message I just talked about, that death, burial, and resurrection. Acts 15, hear the word of the gospel and believe. In verse 7, hear and believe. First two things. Third thing, this Jesus whom I preach said in Luke 13:3-5, I tell you his name. But except you repent, you all likewise perish. You're going to have to repent, the third step. And fourth, you must confess. Jesus said himself, this Jesus whom I preach said, Matthew 10:32, if you confess me before me, and I'll confess you before my Father. If you deny me, this Jesus whom I preach said, I will deny you. I want Jesus here to confess me before his Father, don't you? And after you make that confession before me and you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, this Jesus whom I preach said, you must be baptized for the remission of your sins. Peter told him that on the day of Pentecost, they asked men and brother, what shall we do? Acts 2:36. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, by the authority of Jesus Christ. This Jesus whom I preach authorized baptism. Peter said in 1 Peter 3:21, baptism does also now save us. It was authorized by this Jesus whom I preach, who is Christ. Once you are baptized, then this Jesus will add you to the church. Acts 2:47. The Bible says, praise God, have faith with all the people. The Lord added to the church daily. So she'll be saved. This Jesus, whom I preach, once you are saved, say you must live faithful unto death. This Jesus said, you live faithful unto death, meaning you'll die for it. He said, I'll give you a crown of life.